But I thought I'd come up here and do my PowerPoint. I did hand it out, so there it is. Didn't come up on the screen. It wasn't on the disc when I got here. It's a pleasure to be here today, and Governor Walker, it's good to see you again, and your leadership of this group is, I'm sure, exemplary. So thank you for doing this. And I thank the Election Assistance Commission also for sponsoring this. I think this is really pushing towards where's the next step in statewide data files, and that's a critical thing to be looking at. Before I get into my topic today, which is dealing with file maintenance, and that's pretty exciting, so don't stay with me here. I will just take a quick opportunity to, I think they did distribute this sheet, to show you at least with our system where we're headed next. We've been at it for 10 years now, and I will say to those of you who are building these things, I have a developer on staff full-time for the last 10 years, and I don't expect that he will be leaving anytime soon. So this is an ongoing process where you will find that the more exposure your system gets, the more ideas local election officials, academics will all have in terms of what you can do with these systems. And where we're going with it in terms of centrality of our voter registration system is to start to move it into a critical role for programming optical scan, AutoMark, and then dovetailing into election returns, and finally being the basis for our statewide voter information center. We have built a street index from scratch in our state government beginning back in 1992, and that street index is really the basis to this whole system. And we have one or two people that basically maintain that. We use the Postal Service standards, much to their dismay, because when you use Postal Service standards and you've got 1,500 city and township clerks out there, they will tell you where the errors are in the postal system. And the postal system is not all that good at reacting to that. What we're doing with this system is getting the vendors, our three optical scan vendors, to use our precincts in the qualified voter file to basically be the basis for their systems in terms of programming for election day. We're going to build a statewide candidate list, and with that list, we'll have one, each candidate will only be put in one time, and we will be able to export that. Normally we go to the 83 county clerks. They all re-enter the same names. It gets re-entered perhaps again by a vendor. So the opportunity for error and proofing time increases dramatically. Here the idea is it'll go in one time. It'll be transmitted to the 83 counties electronically. They will be able to electronically roll that into their optical scan programming software. From that software, they will be able to then roll programming into our AutoMarks. And so this works out all the way around. And finally, what happens with our database created sample ballots is that as a voter goes in, this system looks at your political geography and it will pull that ballot out and display for you. So if you are in a precinct that has, let's say, two county commissioner districts, this will know from your political geography which county commissioner district you're in, and it's going to pull that ballot up for you. So again, we see this as an expanding role of the statewide voter registration system that I believe really starts to take us into a broader area of election administration. But really coming back to the topic here, I'm here to talk about file maintenance, and it is important to note that file maintenance is both necessary element of any local and statewide system and a requirement of both the National Voter Registration Act and the Help America Vote Act. It's not an optional item. For those of you who have not been contacted yet by the Justice Department, I'll just tell you, it's not an optional item. Likewise, we cannot ignore the access avenues that are provided by the NVRA, and those likewise need to be enforced. So a well-maintained system is going to have a balance there. You are going to make sure that you have the easy access that was promised by the NVRA and reliable file maintenance required by the NVRA. When we built our system, we knew, as soon as the NVRA passed, we knew we were in trouble. And I'm not here to knock the NVRA. I'm looking at this in terms of how we are going to manage that law. We have 1,500 cities and townships, and they are the registrars. We've got 83 county clerks who are not registrars. We did not, prior to the NVRA, have postcard registration. We pioneered motor voter back in 1975, and it has served us very well. Now, we looked and we said, we see just a barrage of paper moving around the state and maybe hitting the right jurisdictions, maybe not hitting the right jurisdictions, and one jurisdiction informing the other jurisdiction when somebody moves into it. We real quickly looked at it and said, you know, we're going to be at 150% of our voting age population very quickly here. And I always look at the NVRA as kind of a funnel. Opened up all kinds of access, which is excellent, but it also put a cork in the bottom of it in terms of purging. We, like many states, ran a very passive purge. You didn't vote for 5 years, you were sent a notice. There were ways to get back on the file if you showed up election day, but essentially that's how our purging was done. The problem with files that are full of dead wood, if you will, is that it basically increases the cost of election administration. Precinct size, ordering of ballots, in terms of folks that use this, political or otherwise, it increases mailing costs that are quite unnecessary. And it also, frankly, calls into question the legitimacy of the system, because the media follows this very closely, and they start pointing out that how close you are to 100% of your voting age population. Our system is a distributed database. We have 499 cities and townships directly connected to us, and then the 83 counties are also connected. The 499 jurisdictions represent about 82% of the voting age population. The county clerks do the data entry for the remaining 18%, which is basically 1,000 very small rural jurisdictions. So we do have a distributed database. It replicates each day. It's an Oracle replication. But the key element here is the accuracy of the data. And like many other states, we populated our file from local voter registration files. And the fact is that the quality of local voter registration files is not equally distributed. Some are excellent, and some have some issues. So what you find when we put it all in, we moved everything to an electronic format. It required us to key in over 400,000 records that were paper-based systems. And then we matched that to the driver file. And we matched it to our driver file so that we could assign the driver's license address, or pardon me, driver's license number. And having done that, we then did our sorts. And we sorted out about 600,000 duplicate registrations. And these are registrations that have just remained on files as people move from one jurisdiction to another. Now, we hit about, it was over an 80% match rate. And we learned a lot of lessons on matching. It's a tough thing, and you need to stay very conservative. One of the reasons you don't find birth dates on a lot of records is, for example, in Michigan, we didn't even ask for it until the mid-1960s. So for very old records, those birth dates just don't exist. Our driver's license number is a combination of the birth date and the name of the voter, so it does have some value. And what we really looked at was trying to keep the voter file and the driver file in sync to the extent that we could. Our major transaction, as with all, are changes of address. And you can I define that as everything except somebody who's just turned 18 and registering for literally the first time, or somebody who's just moved into the state and has never been registered before, or someone who's never been on the file before. So really what our system does, and I think all the others also, is that they basically identify people and make sure that they are in the proper jurisdiction and remove from the jurisdiction where they have just left. And we do that through an inbox transaction where and we do not wait for the local clerks to enter these folks. We are basically tied in with our driver file, and that as you do a driver's license transaction, it will send a voter registration transaction to our qualified voter file, which then we will transfer down the next day to the local file, and that person is in. You will get an inbox transaction that will tell you where this person came from, and the former jurisdiction will get a transaction telling them that this person has left your community and here's where they went. So that, I think, tracking voters across jurisdictional lines is what these systems are all about. And what you get, and this is where I do talk to the Department of Justice about enforcing provisions of the NVRA, because you get a double hit. If you register somebody through Motor Voter or through an agency and it comes into the system and it is then a updated registration, change of address, so you've got them in the right place, but it is also a purge. It has now taken that person off the jurisdiction where they no longer belong. And that is really a critical thing that needs to be, attention needs to be paid there. Again, as was pointed out earlier, the Secretary of State in Michigan is also the motor vehicle head, so that certainly gives us a leg up. But I do believe that these kind of matches can be made and connections that can be made. Now, one thing we did, it's caused some issues, but it has worked well for us, is that we got a law passed indicating that where you drive and where you vote is the same address. And there are not two, you do not have two separate residencies. And so when you go to a motor vehicle office, you are told that you change your driver's license address, it changes your voter registration. If you mail in a voter registration application or go to a local clerk's office and register, it will change your voter registration and it will change your driver's license. So we're keeping these two very much in sync. Now, what you can find with a statewide file as you start playing with it is that it came to our attention a couple of years ago that we had over 800,000, and we're a file of 7.1 million, we had 800,000 records from voters with absolutely no history, and those go back to day one. And these are not folks who just registered last year and haven't voted, but going back to 1997, 1998, we end up with 800,000 that came in. And I quite frankly think the vast majority of that was bad data that never should have come in. They should have been purged out of local files probably quite some time ago. So our efforts have been, again, trying to clean these files up and making sure that they're as accurate as possible. I just want to tell you about three programs real quickly and then I will sit down. Our first program is we try to offer an incentive to the local clerks. We had a consolidation law that changed all school election dates. So new voter ID cards had to be sent out. We said, look, you send out the cards, we'll pay for those cards as long as you do the file maintenance required by the NVRA when those cards are returned. And we can see in the file who's doing what and who's not doing what. So that is a big benefit of statewide files, is that you get to see that. We had created a cancellation countdown in our system so that when you're put in, when the confirmation cancellation notice is sent, you are in this file and you will remain in there for the two federal elections. If at any time during that period you vote, change your address, it will automatically remove you from that file. So we have provided that as a way to keep track. Our second program, we did use the Social Security death records, the historical. We removed about 50,000 voters from our file using that. And we tried we went out of our way trying to make sure that this was as conservative as possible to look at Florida, because our snowbirds go to Florida in great numbers. And we had a couple thousand and they were a tight match, and then we did send them notice. We started getting phone calls announcing their resurrection, and we just pulled it out. We just backed right out of it. So we're very leery with the matching and fully realize where the pitfalls are. What we do now, and as somebody mentioned this earlier, is that all the driver license records now have social numbers on them, which is kind of strange. It's all for quote-unquote child support purposes. So at least when we get the Social Security death list now, we put it through our driver license process, and they match number to number, and then it comes to us. So that's far more accurate than trying to do these others. And finally, probably the more controversial program we did, and this was, you know, we try to do partnerships with the Justice Department, you know, as we all do, was a mailing in 2006 to all voters. It was an informational voter notice indicating information for the election and announcing the disability compliance system. And so we paid the Postal Service to give us the returned endorsements. And therein lies the problem with the NVRA. The NVRA was built on the premise that the post office works. It was also built on a premise that you would not need a computer to run the NVRA, and I would differ with that also, which does not detract from the value of the NVRA. It's just that it needs resources more than what they had indicated. We received probably 600,000, 800,000 of these cards back. We were able to do second notices on 230,000. We found that the way that the endorsements were marked by the carriers was totally inconsistent from carrier to carrier, and it really was quite a bit of money and not much by way of return. So I don't have any great ideas on the purge other than I will tell you, if you get bad records coming in, you're going to pay dearly to get rid of them, and they don't just go away by time unless you've got really good death records, because basically we tell people the only way you can get out of our system is you die or you leave the state, you know, and that's how you get out. There's no, or you can go in and ask to be off, but once they're in, they are in. So I do think that you know, wherever you can piggyback and share files, I think that's a critical way to go. I do believe that the Postal Service does need to do a better job, and we do plan on rubbing their nose in it a little bit in terms of getting some feedback on what they've provided to us. And finally, I would note that when you look at the EAC's NVRA reports, you know, you find a state that's below 50% on DMV transactions as 50% of their registrations. You better look real close at that, because that tells me you've got a DMV who's really not doing what the motor voter says you ought to be doing. We run a very aggressive one. We 80%, well, here's what we do. We get 1.2 million, I'll just give you this number
real
and
fast,
sit down.
Ernie's got to talk.
1.2 million registration or transactions a year, and a little over a million of those come out of the DMV. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.